today as we come to the table.
You guys are talking and I don't even know it. And the Lord says to her, yeah, you did laugh. She says, for she was afraid. He says, but you did laugh. And I love it. Again, notice this. The Lord busted her in it and didn't let her get away with it, but he did forgive her of it, as we know. And because again, we're going to see that, you know, she believes and they rejoice over the new baby that God's giving them. But notice God dealt with her even in what would be a seemingly small thing. The Lord said to her heart, no, that you are doing that. God may be speaking to your heart saying, there's an area, here's an issue, here's the thing. Well, that's just little. No, 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 don't say it's little. I want you to deal with it. And God will begin to expose things in our hearts that we need to deal with. Take it seriously and get it right with the Lord.
You can't really blame Sarah for laughing at God's promise to give her a child in her old age. It just seemed outlandish to imagine that she could have a baby. But her laughter was a symptom of a lack of faith. It came after the same distrust that led her and Abraham to devise their own plans and bear a child through their maidservant Hagar. Well, thanks for taking the time to join us as we come to the table. The Daily Bible Study Program of Mark Kirk, Senior Pastor of Calvary Knoxville. In today's message, Pastor Mark will challenge you to ask yourself if you lack faith in any areas of your life. You likely have a tendency to downplay it. We all do. But if you're going to be all in for God, even the smallest stronghold of doubt can grow into a wall that keeps you from following Him fully. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Genesis, chapter 18, with today's edition of Come to the Table.
He is the God of the here and now. He is your God right now to move on your behalf as El Shaddai, to move on your behalf in power. That is the God that we worship. He is the I Am. I love it. And again, further revealing who this Jehovah is, it's interesting when Jesus was asked in John 8 who he claimed to be, he said to them, I am. They said, who do you think you are? He said, before Abraham was. Interesting in context of Abraham, because he had said that he had seen Abraham's day. They said, when have you seen Abraham? Guess when Jesus saw Abraham? Chapter 18. Of course, he saw him before that, but Abraham, when did Abraham see Jesus? Chapter 18, because this is none other than Jesus Christ, a Christophany, Jehovah, the I Am, Jesus Christ, as he revealed himself in John chapter 8, 58, standing before Abraham here in this whole scene. It's interesting, in Isaiah 44, 6, God calls himself by the name the Jehovah, or Jehovah, and notice what he says. It says, thus says the Lord, and again, that word there is what? Jehovah, the King of Israel and the Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first and I am the last. Beside me, there is no God. So declaring himself to be Jehovah, declaring himself to be the only God, and declaring himself to be the first and the last. So what is Jehovah? What does Jehovah call himself? The first and the last. Why is that interesting? Now look at Revelation 1, verse 17 and 18, because when Jesus was speaking to John in his vision, he said this, do not be afraid. Note this, I am the first and I am the last. Jesus declaring right here to be Jehovah, the very God of the Old Testament. But it gets more interesting. Notice it goes on and says, Jesus said, I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, am alive forevermore. When did Jehovah die and resurrect? Jesus Christ on the cross and Jesus Christ coming out of the tomb. So what's exciting about this scene is it's not just the Lord now coming to visit. This is Jesus and a couple of angels. And there's Abraham bowing down at the foot of the tree, if you will, realizing now who this man is, that he's not just a man, but he's God in human form. And again, that's a realization that all of us need to come to if we're ever going to truly know who our Savior is in Jesus Christ. Notice he says, don't pass by in verse 3 if I have found favor. Please let me bring a little water and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. Again, water back in that day, they would travel in sandals and your feet would get dirty and it would be very uncomfortable to sit down and have fellowship with the dirty feet. You know, we don't like that. They didn't like it. And so they would wash their feet. He said, let me bring you some water so your feet can be cleansed. And also notice he offers to give them a meal now, again, appropriate for that time of the day being the lunchtime. He said, I'll bring a morsel of bread that you may refresh your hearts. And after that may pass by, insomuch as you have come to your servant. And they said, do as you have said. Now again, notice we see the Lord here not only taking on human form with the angels, but notice when they take on human form, we see the Lord does that. We see the angels do that from time to time. But notice they even eat. They even eat. I mean, angel, this is amazing to me. And of course, it's not angels' food cake. I'm sure they have that up there, but they could eat that down here if they wanted to. But notice this, in Hebrews 13:2, it says, forget not to entertain strangers, for by doing so, some have unwittingly entertained angels. Isn't it wild to think that you may have run into an angel? They would have looked just like a man. They could have even eaten with you and you wouldn't have known it. Now, this is what kills me because it didn't hit me really till this morning. But I was thinking about this, you know, and you know, we may have run into angels, right? Wouldn't you hate to find out that the guy you were rude to that day turned out to be an angel? You ever had one of those things where you were rude to a total stranger? I've done that. We've all had our moments. Look back through your life. We've been rude to total strangers. Whether it's not yelling at somebody in a car or getting upset because they cut. I don't think an angel would cut. But anyway. Can you imagine getting up to heaven and going, oh, this is great. Hello. Oh, it's you. You were the guy. I was the guy. Oh, I'm so sorry for what I did and what I said. I know. Guys, we need to be on our toes. Listen, not just to be a general witness to the public, but you know, you think about it. What if we've been like rude to an angel? You know, again, I'm not saying that brings any consequences other than embarrassment and humility, but they're around us, angels. It's amazing. He says, so you know what? Hey, these guys, you know, we need to be on our toes. And so again, he tells them to refresh their hearts. Abraham hastened into the tent of Sarah, obviously very excited. He said, quickly, make ready 3 measures of fine meal, knead it and make cakes. Now, I love this because notice Abraham's desire to not only please the Lord, but to do it quickly. What a lesson this is for us. Again, remember, we talked about Abraham's immediate obedience. Now we talk about Abraham's wanting to do things to the Lord quickly. When he hears God's voice and he knows that God wants him to do it, he doesn't put it off, but he responds quickly. And what a great heart it is to have, like Abraham, that we would want to serve the Lord without delay. No delay. Now, you know, as they say, you know, with a little, you know, with on delay, a little more on and less delay in getting going for the Lord. And so notice here, again, it's interesting to me when we see how quickly he wanted to serve the Lord once he realized God was speaking to him. How many of us today want to wait for a more convenient time to serve the Lord? You know, maybe right now you're sitting there going, I want to serve the Lord, but I'll do it this summer when school's not in. Or I'd like to serve the Lord, but I think I'm going to wait until I'm not working so much. Or I'd like to serve the Lord, but you know what? I want to wait until the kids are grown. It's awful busy right now around the house, and I really can't get involved in serving at the church or being involved in ministry because it's just too busy. Not Abraham. Abraham said, Lord, I'm not only going to do it, I'm going to do it quickly. Interesting. Notice he ran. Again, remember, running was undignified. Abraham's doing all these things. I don't care. He's like, I'm going to serve the Lord. I've heard the voice of the Lord. Let's get going. You know, Abraham could have said, well, you know, Lord, it's time for lunch, and it is the heat of the day. Why don't we just take a break for a while, and when things get a little more opportune, then we'll get on with the business here of why you're here. He said, no, I don't care how hot it is in my life right now. I'm going to serve you. I choose to do what you've asked me to do and to answer your voice while I can. And you know what I say while I can? Remember, he was 99 years old. Guys, we don't know how long we're going to be able to serve the Lord. We need to understand that it's a privilege to be able to serve the Lord. There's going to come a day where we're not going to be able to. There's going to come a day where we're not going to be physically as strong and able to serve the Lord. How I wish I could go back to those teen years and give my life to Christ. I didn't come to the Lord until I was 25. But if I could go back to the time I was a kid, if I could go back to those teen years, that's when you're strong. You know, most scholars believe that the disciples were teens when the Lord called them. And if that is indeed the case, I can understand why. Strong, energy, ready to go. You know, now we're kind of like, you know, just trying to get out of bed, you know, using our hands to pick one leg up and set it down, right? The kids are like, you know, and you wonder how they're doing this. Sometimes I see them running around going, look what you're wasting. You're wasting all that. Give it to me. And you wish you could just kind of go up to them and kind of, you know, download, you know, hit some kind of port there in the side and go, okay, now they're a little bit more tired. And you're like, yeah, you know. how good it would have been, guys, if we use our energy while we have strength. How many more days are we going to have strength? How many more days? And so we need to use that strength. And I love Abraham here at 99. You know, he probably didn't know how much more he had to go. And he's going to use that strength. No excuses. I'm not putting it off. I've heard your voice. I'm not going to wait for a more convenient time. I don't care how hot and heavy my life is right now. I'm going to serve Jesus. And if my life is too hot and heavy to serve, then I'm going to drop some things. Because it's time to get going. The day is short. And the night is quickly coming. Or, you know, going away with the day dawning, rather, when the Lord comes back. We need to be prepared. We need to be ready. So notice he says, and Abraham ran to the herd. Here he goes running again. I love it. And he took a tender and good calf and gave it to a young man, and he hastened to prepare it. And so he took butter and milk and the calf which he had prepared and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree as they ate. Now note this. I love this. It wasn't enough to hurry up and serve the Lord. He stood by to see if there was anything else that needed to be done. So again, we not only see Abraham desiring to serve and saying, I'm going to take the energy and the strength that I have and start serving, but what else can I do? Lord, I'm here at your ready. Your beck and call. You let me know what it is you want. I will do it. And he's standing by simply waiting on the next word from the Lord. Again, a heart that we need to have and something we need to learn from Abraham. And then they said to him, where is Sarah, your wife? And he said, well, here in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return to you according to the time of life. And behold, Sarah, your wife, shall have a son. Now, he'd already told Abraham this, right? But Sarah had not heard the Lord say this. You notice, and Sarah was listening in the tent door behind them. You can imagine her ear up to the tent door. Now, again, it wouldn't be very hard to hear, but I can see Sarah in there and him saying, in the time of life, that is, in the time it takes to have a child, Sarah's going to have a baby. Now, this was not the first time Sarah had heard this. Abraham came home and said, guess what God told me? But you know what? It's one thing for your husband to tell you something or your wife to tell you something. It's totally different for the Lord to. And now Sarah, she, in all honesty, didn't truly believe. It's not that she thought Abraham was lying to her, but we're going to see that she lacked the faith to believe that Abraham had told her she was going to have a baby. She lacked the faith. And God now wanted to show himself to her as the El Shaddai, to increase her faith, to let her know that God has said it and God will do it. And you know, again, God works in those ways. There's a lot of times where God will tell one spouse something and he doesn't tell the other spouse that right away. And I think if we just pray and wait on the Lord, God will do that. I remember when God first called Tracy and I here to Knoxville. We had a home. We had a great Christian school that our kids were in. We were settled in. Things were great, you know, and all of a sudden I knew God had spoken in my heart and said, Mark, I want you to sell everything and go to Knoxville. Start over. Well, again, when you know that God, I knew that God had told me that. I was excited. I'm like, all right, Lord, whatever. Well, guess who hadn't heard that yet? And I remember sharing that with Tracy, and she was like, oh, sell our home. Start over, find another school, find a job, start over. And it was not that she was opposed to it, but it's kind of like she needed to hear God say that. See, I was all pumped up and excited. I'd heard the Lord. And I began to pray for God to speak to her. And I'll never forget the day she came to me and she said, guess what? She said, I guess it's time to pack up and move. She said, God spoke to me. And I know we're supposed to go now. See, here's what gave her the confidence. It wasn't just her husband saying God said we should go. Now God has spoken to her heart. And husbands, wives, hear me on this. If God has put something in your heart, share that with your spouse, but then pray and ask God to show it to them as well. We shouldn't have to coerce them. Let God do it. Let God speak in their heart about what needs to be done. God is more than able. And so Abraham knew this was the plan. Now Sarah needed to know this was the plan. And God in his faithfulness came and said, all right, I'm going to show myself to you as the El Shaddai, the same way I did to Abraham. You're going to see that I'm the Almighty. You're going to see that I can make you at 90 years old get pregnant. A womb that's dead, a womb that's a tomb is now going to resurrect. And from that resurrection in that dead womb, if you will, is going to come a son named Isaac who will be a type and an example of Jesus Christ as we see in the scripture. What pictures all through scripture God gives us. But again, she needed to know this and she needed to meet the Lord in a brand new way. And you know, it's interesting. I think there are a lot of us today that when we hear the word of God, it causes the same effect in our life. Notice what she does here. It says Abraham and Sarah were well advanced in age and Sarah was past the age of childbearing. And notice, therefore, verse 12, Sarah laughed within herself saying, after I've grown old, shall I have pleasure? My Lord being old also. Now notice Sarah laughed even as Abraham did earlier, but for two very different reasons. Abraham laughed in joy and amazement. What a God I serve. This is incredible. Now we see Sarah laughing, going, there's no way. Come on, I'm an old grandma. I'm 90. I never could have a baby when I was young, much less now. And she laughs within herself. But what's interesting about her laughing within herself is that we're going to see that God hears her laughing. And again, God wanted to reveal to her that he was the El Shaddai. You know what? We only laugh at the word of God until we know him as the El Shaddai. There are people today that do the same thing. If you share the word of God with them, typically if you share certain stories like Jonah and the great fish, or Noah and the flood, typically you get a reaction. For the believer, you get the smile of what a great God we serve. What a great God, a God that could take a fish, swallow a guy, drive him around for 3 days, drop him off on another shore, and him be okay. What a God we serve. Where you tell that to the unbeliever and they say, yeah, give me a break. They laugh. They laugh all right, but it's a mocking laugh. It's a cynical laugh. It's the kind of laugh that goes, I don't believe that. You mean to tell me that you think some man could ride around inside of something for 3 days in the ocean and be dropped off somewhere else and be okay? I just can't believe it. Now, I believe that man could do that because, again, I believe in man, and man can build a submarine that people can get in and ride around in the ocean and drop off on other shores, but not God. Man has that ability and that power, but not El Shaddai. You see, we believe that man can create a device that can swallow a human, drive them around in the ocean 3 days, and drop them off on another continent. But we don't believe that God Almighty, who created the heavens and the earth, could do what man could do? Can God not attain what mankind has attained? How sad that is to think that God couldn't, and if he couldn't, we wouldn't be here right now. Here's the bottom line. As once we know him as the El Shaddai, there's nothing impossible for God. God can do all things. You see, Sarah needed to know this. God knew that Sarah would mock. He knew that she would laugh. He knew that she would show unbelief at his word because she didn't yet know him as El Shaddai. See, here right now, some of you may be saying, but I even question some. Listen, if you question any of God's word, you've not yet met him as the El Shaddai. Once you meet him as the El Shaddai, you'll laugh, but it won't be a laugh of doubt. It'll be a laugh of, wow, God is amazing. Sarah needed to know God in this way. And Sarah's mistake is the same mistake that many of us make, and that is this. She put her understanding and limitations on the Lord. Guys, we can never put our limitations on God. Just because we can't do that doesn't mean that God can't. God can do anything. The El Shaddai has no limitations. And so again, notice it says, and the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh? Now, interesting, notice it says she laughed within herself in verse 12. It wasn't out loud. Guess who heard her? Why'd Sarah laugh? Abraham's probably going, she didn't laugh. I didn't hear anything. And he says, why'd Sarah laugh? Why? Because not only did he hear her, he wanted Sarah to know his supernatural power. He wanted Sarah to know that he hears things even in the mind and even in the heart that he alone can hear and that he can speak into our life. And right now, God may be revealing something to you that only God could have known. There may be something this morning that right now God has spoken to your heart. No one could have known it. No one could have known that God was saying that or that you were thinking that rather in your mind until God revealed to you and said, through the pastor, God said something. And now you're going, whoa, that's just what I, and God said that because, hey, wait a minute. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, why is God doing that for you? God does that for you. And if he's not doing it today, he will do that from time to time. Why does God do that? The same reason he did it for Sarah in the tent. He wants you to know that he's almighty. He wants you to know that not only does he see you and hear everything you do, he even knows your thoughts. And he's revealing that. And again, we're going to see his grace even revealing that thought that, again, he confronts her on it, but he forgives her because her thoughts were wrong. You know, it's amazing to me, and again, pertaining to this, I've had people before, this happens on a regular basis. How do I know it happens? Because I've had people come to me and say, who told you about my situation? And I'll say, what situation? And they'll tell me, and I'll say, well, I didn't know that. Wow, oh, that's exactly what's going on. And you said exactly that today. We can't believe it. Nobody knew that but us. I say, but you know what? God knew it. I can't tell you how many times that has happened where God has spoken. I've had people actually get mad at me thinking that I've revealed something personal about them from the pulpit. Guys, know this. I would never reveal anything personal about you from the pulpit. I want you to know that as your pastor. I would never put you in that position. But I've had people, I remember somebody came up to me one time, actually wanted a meeting with me because they thought that someone had called me and told me their situation. And because of that, they wanted to meet afterwards and say, how could you do this? How could you reveal in front of the whole body? I was like, you know what? I have no idea what you're talking about. And until you just told me, I didn't even know that was going on in your life. But now that I do know, as your pastor, I encourage you, it sounds like busted to me. And it sounds to me like you need to go to the Lord and get some things right. See, when God reveals that through the pastor or through someone else who's speaking, God is doing that for you to let you know, I'm the El Shaddai. I know what's going on. I know what your thoughts are. Now, God didn't tell me things. Don't worry. He's not a, you know, I don't look at you and go, No, Lord, not her. No. That doesn't happen. But sometimes through a teaching, God will reveal something because he wants you to know, I see you, I hear you, and I love you. And the good news is when Sarah's busted here, God didn't say, that's it. You know, you're done. Out of the tent. Right, come here. This is it. I'm going to zap you now. No heaven, nothing, whatever. He says, no, you know what? No, you did laugh, Sarah, because she's going to deny it in a minute. But you know what? It's all right. It's not all right that you laughed and denied it. But the point is I'm going to forgive you. I'm showing myself to you in a new and great way. And we're going to see that she blows it because of flesh and because she's afraid. And we've all had these times where we've blown it as well. But again, we need to see God's grace in the midst of this. Notice he says, you know, she did laugh. Why did she laugh? Surely you know, saying, shall I bear a son in my old age? He says, is anything too hard for the Lord? And again, that's a question we need to ask ourselves. Do we believe that anything is too hard for the Lord? If we do, we've not met him yet as El Shaddai. He goes on and says, note this, at the appointed time, I will return to you. In other words, again, we see that God has everything in his appointed time. Our problem is we have trouble waiting. And he says, according to the time of life, that is for a child to be born, and Sarah shall have a son. In other words, I said it, I'm going to do it. Although you may have set limits on me, Sarah, my limits are not by your limits, and I will do it. I've said it. I love it. God's authority. But Sarah denied it. Notice her initial response. She denied, I didn't laugh. And I wonder if you could hear it from the tent. You know, she's in the tent listening. Why'd Sarah laugh? I didn't laugh. You say, Abraham, what's this? What's going on? I didn't hear the conversation. You guys are talking and I don't even know it. And the Lord says to her, yeah, you did laugh. She says, for she was afraid. And he says, but you did laugh. Now I love it. Again, notice this. The Lord busted her in it and didn't let her get away with it, but he did forgive her of it, as we know. And because again, we're going to see that, you know, she believes and they rejoice over the new baby that God's giving them. But notice God dealt with her even in what would be a seemingly small thing. The Lord said to her heart, no, that you are doing that. God may be speaking to your heart saying, there's an area, here's an issue, here's the thing. Well, that's just little. No, don't say it's little. I want you to deal with it. And God will begin to expose things in our hearts that we need to deal with. Take it seriously and get it right with the Lord. And again, Sarah now realizes that indeed this is the Lord, for no one but God could have known what she was saying in her heart. And again, no one could know in our hearts but God what we're thinking right now. And God is right now searching our hearts. So here's the question for us today as we finish, and that is this. Has the Lord appeared to you today as he appeared to Abraham? As an unbeliever, it may be for the first time next to a tree, with one on his left and his right. You see him now as the God-man, fully God and fully man, revealed, Jehovah, El Shaddai, Jesus Christ, God in human form, come to the earth for us. And you see it for the first time. If that's your state, this morning you need to do what Abraham did and run to him and bow down and worship. You need to confess your sin and receive him as your Lord and your Savior. But as believers, if God has revealed himself to us in a new way today, as the El Shaddai, as Jehovah, as the one who even reads the thoughts and intentions of the heart and knows what we're saying, guys, we need to do the same thing. We need to run to him and we need to bow down. And if there's anything we need to confess, we need to confess it. But beyond that, we need to ask God to show us even in greater measure himself as the El Shaddai. That's how I want to know him. And I know that you want to know him that way as well. Let's ask him to do that this morning, to reveal himself to us in greater and greater increments, the same way he revealed himself in greater and greater ways to Abraham. I want to know him. I know that you want to know him greater. Let's ask him to do it.
Isn't it interesting that it only took a couple of chapters in after God created everything for mankind to find a way to rebel? This is human nature, isn't it? Throughout history, God has something great in mind, but people find loopholes and do things their own way, rebelling against God. Something that's striking in the book of Genesis is that God remains faithful even when mankind does not. God keeps his promises when it would be impossible for anyone else to do so. What an amazing God we serve. Pastor Mark has been working his way through the opening book of the Bible, and there's so much more to gain from it. Come to the Table is a radio ministry of Calvary Knoxville. If you're enjoying these teachings, head over to thewaymedia.net to hear more. Just click on the Come to the Table tab. While you're there, if you have any questions or comments about today's message, we'd love to hear them. Just look for the questions and comments link. If you're ever in the Knoxville, Tennessee area, we'd love for you to drop in and see us. You can find service times and locations on thewaymedia.net. calvarynoxville.net. Scroll to the bottom of the page and find a link to Calvary Knoxville. We have several service times that could accommodate whatever type of schedule you have. We're so thankful that you've joined us today, listening to Pastor Mark's thoughts and insights on the book of Genesis. There's more to learn and appreciate from the beginning of the Bible on. So come next time, grab your Bible, maybe a cup of coffee, and be ready to understand the great things God has for you to learn the next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.